When was the last time you thanked God for your healthcare? At Redeem Healthshare Ministry, it's not just about paying medical bills. It's about honoring Christ and relieving the burden of rising medical costs. From routine checkups to life surprises, Redeem offers affordable, flexible programs supported by a caring Christian community. Say amen to healthcare that fits your faith and your budget. See how it works at redeemhealthshare.org.
ARK Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure video game set in a lethal yet vibrant future Earth. Play as a raider, where you will settle into a fractured underground settlement, hoping to build a new home and legacy for yourself. In order to thrive, you must return to the surface, where lethal ARK machines roam unchecked and the motives of other raiders are dangerously unclear. But if you are fearless enough, who knows what you might find? Pre-order now for PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and PC. Available on October 30, rated T for teen.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Miami fight song means that our friend who works for the NFL Network and who does baseball today on John Boy Media, which you will see on all social channels after the World Series games coming up, joins us right here on Baskin and Phelps. He's Mr. Chris Rose. Hello, Chris.
Hi, Chris.
Hi, guys. How are you?
We are well. Before we get to the World Series, Browns have a win. Congratulations. They beat the Miami Dolphins. They were on the schedule. I don't want to hear anything about beating the Miami Dolphins. I do want to know, what have you thought of Dylan Gabriel through three starts?
I think he's been fine. I mean, I'll repeat it as I do weekly here. I didn't see him as anything more than a backup moving forward. And people can be upset about taking him with the 94th pick and, you know, we had other needs. I'll listen to all of that. But at the same time, you know, he wasn't your first third-round pick. He was your second third-round pick. I do think it's important to invest in a backup quarterback, whether it's financially or draft capital-wise. And I think what he's proving, this will be his fourth start, that the Browns can win games with him moving forward if they need him for a month, right? The measuring stick for a really good backup is 2-2 without your starter. Yeah. And he's had a chance to go that, right? The Pittsburgh game was a lost cause, didn't play well, nobody did, won this game, and the Minnesota game was winnable to the end. And so I think that's what you look for out of a backup quarterback. So while everybody's having the argument, well, you know, he's not the guy, I've never seen him as the guy. But that's me and not the Browns.
What should the game plan be for this team? I mean, it's kind of weird because if the Packers beat the Steelers and the Browns should pull off a win this week against New England, that AFC North gets even closer and a little bit tighter. And I know everyone wants to say, okay, well, we got to get a quarterback next year. And you know, a lot of folks would say, who cares if we win? I care. But what should the game plan be for this organization for the rest of the season?
It should be to win. But at the same time, and I asked Andrew Berry this when he joined us in the preseason about the parallel tracks that you're running. One is you're starting a 40-year-old quarterback week one in Joe Flacco while trying to develop two other quarterbacks as well. And so they have chosen this path. You know, this is what they have done. And they have to continue to do it, right? I just heard Kevin's press conference where they asked him about Shador getting first team reps. And I'm sure people are going to be up in arms saying, well, hold on, Dylan Gabriel was getting first team reps when Joe Flacco was the starter. And as Kevin clearly pointed out, well, there's a difference between a guy who is in year 18 and a guy who is now starting his fourth game. Like, you want him to get as many reps as possible. I would hope that makes sense to most people. Now, at the same time, do I believe that they need to give Shador a look at some point this year? Yes, I do. Do I think that Shador has the ability to be a starting quarterback more than Dylan Gabriel in this league? Yes, I do. Do I think he's the answer for the Browns at starting quarterback? No, I don't. Can that change? Yes, it can. Like, people are always saying, well, this isn't the way it was done here. And why is it that people are saying that, you know, when Joe Flacco was starting, it was okay for Dylan Gabriel to do this? And why did people say, well, Shador wasn't ready in week one, but now it's week seven or week eight, and he is? Well, things are constantly changing. Everything changes in sports and in the NFL. A guy's ability to work an offense changes from week seven to week eight, or week one to week eight. It happens. So, yes, this is going to be a constantly evolving process for the year, which is kind of a roundabout way of saying they should do everything they can to win every week. There is no such thing as this team trying to tank for it. That's ridiculous. What are you tanking for? We don't even know who the best college quarterback is, so that's insane. And even when you think you know who's the best college quarterback, that doesn't always happen. So that's kind of where we sit, in my opinion.
Chris Rose joining us. The defense looks legit, which I think folks were wondering, okay, will it get back to what it was 2 years ago? What's impressed you most about the way the unit is played?
I think that the back end has been way better than I anticipated. Way better. I think that Miles Harden has improved a little bit. You know, people that do this for a living in terms of breaking down slot cornerback play are going to be better versed in it than I am, but I think that he's played better. I'm surprised that our pass rush has not gotten to the passer more lately, and I think that maybe that's just because teams are getting the ball out of their hands. Like, Rodgers did a really good job 2 weeks ago, I thought, in doing that. But I just think overall, like, the linebacker play has been very, very good. Devin Bush has played really, really well. So all that is good.
Very nice. Very nice. I want to switch over to baseball. Are you done with football? If you have a football question, go ahead. I'm just going to be nice.
No, I'm excited.
No, I'm looking at you.
I have one more football thought for you.
Okay.
Sure.
The AFC North has been underwhelming so far.
That
doesn't mean it's bad or anything, but, and I'm not going to say the Browns are going to win the division, but what the division to me has just been very strange. Is there a team that you think is the best team in this division right now? You know, the numbers say Pittsburgh right now. I still keep looking at Baltimore and thinking that's not going to last, is it?
Well, let's start with this. I mean, you're taking two of the three or four best quarterbacks out of play. Then, yeah, of course, those teams are going to suck. I mean, you know, we could say whatever we want about Joe Burrow and Joe Flacco. I mean, Joe Flacco is not Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow is a great, great quarterback. And Lamar's missed the last two games, and I know that they weren't winning with him, but they are a different, I don't know how much you've watched of them when he didn't play. It was brutal. It was unrecognizable.
Jake Browning did not look like Jake Browning from 2 years ago.
No, he didn't. He stunk, and Cooper Rush, who won a lot of games as Dak's backup in Dallas, was horrific. Those guys are special. They're different. They're game changers. It's why it's so important to find one of those dudes. Now, the next month for the Ravens, would it shock me if they beat the Bears this week, who have won four in a row for the first time in 7 years? No, it wouldn't. Would it shock me if they won at Miami next week? No, it wouldn't. Would it shock me if they won the following week at Minnesota? No, it wouldn't. Would it shock me if they beat the Browns in Cleveland? I hope not. I mean, I hope they don't win, but it wouldn't shock me. How about the Jets? I mean, like, I could see Baltimore, as much as of a defensive issue as they have had for much of this year, I could see them getting back to very close to 500 on the back end of the season, and then who knows where it's going to take you.
All right, Chris, what can Guardians fans learn from the current matchup between the Dodgers and Blue Jays about trying to make their team better?
Well, first of all, I'm really happy for all those former Guardians that are here. I really am. You know, like, people who are like, well, if we just had all those guys, really? Y'all couldn't run Miles Straw out of town fast enough. Andrés Giménez still had an OPS under 600 this year for a nine-figure contract. That wasn't sustainable in Cleveland. as much as I love him, I mean, I think he is a great ball player to watch play. I love watching him on defense. King Bieber, we knew, was going to leave after this year. He was going to opt out as long as he was healthy, and they ended up trading, hopefully, for a decent prospect there. Ernie Clement, for God's sakes, y'all didn't even remember Ernie Clement was a part of this organization until he popped up on the postseason roster this year. And he has become, to me, that is the biggest shock in the world, how good a baseball player he's become. I'm so happy for him and happy for all those guys. I think it's great. So I want to start with that.
Are you surprised it took Mark 10 years there to get that done? Or is it because of the Yankees and the Red Sox and because of the East?
Yes, because
I thought it would happen a little quicker, I'll be honest with you. But go ahead, sir.
I also didn't think that he was going to still have a job. I mean, it would have been very easy for them to have cleaned house after last year. For people that don't know, they won 74 games and were dead last in baseball last year. They were going into the offseason where Vladdy was going into a walk year. They didn't know what was going to happen there. Mark, it was a disaster. Russ Atkins looked like a dunce. Like, they could have easily cleaned house, and they didn't. And now they're reaping the rewards. So I'm happy for all those guys. I really am. So what can they learn? Helps to have a top five payroll. Helps to go find the greatest player we've ever seen on the planet. Anything else that I'm missing? Like, I don't know.
Some more learning beer? I don't.
I don't think we're going to learn much. It's, you know, Vladdy is an incredible hitter. But I think he has elevated his status in this sport more than almost any guy who was already a star, in my opinion, because Vladdy was a star going into the playoffs. But I think he has elevated himself more than anybody I can remember in recent memory with this two-week run. Really has.
If the Dodgers get the starting pitching they got in the NLCS, is there any way that Toronto can even touch them? Or is the key to Toronto getting into that bullpen?
Yeah, I mean, that's the key. But so you're going to have a lot of at-bats where you foul off, you know, five pitches in an at-bat against Blake Snell or Yamamoto. The Dodgers starters have thrown 62% of their pitches in the postseason run, as opposed to low 40s, maybe right around 40% last year when they won it all. That is a significant increase. So the thing is with Blake Snell is, do you have the ability to foul it off? He's a little bit like Scooble. Right now, everything he's throwing is a strike, and you can't hit it. I mean, a lot of guys like to nibble, and that's what Blake Snell did at the beginning of his career. He nibbled. That's why his pitch count got up, and he was out before the fifth inning. He has really revamped, in my opinion, who he has become. And that's, I mean, he's pitched 21 innings this postseason. Four runners have gotten to second base. Four. So it's up to the Blue Jays, who have the best contact rate in all of baseball, to make these guys work and make Dave Roberts make decisions on guys who aren't his trusty arms in the bullpen.
All right, let me ask you a big picture question. Giants hire Tony Vitello from Tennessee. We've never seen this before.
College
manager becomes a Major League Baseball manager. Just your thoughts and what will this mean? I mean, could this be a trendsetter?
I don't know, Tony. I think he's done a hell of a job making Tennessee into what it has become. So what's the most important stuff at the major league level? You know, this is what I discussed with Trevor Plouffe on Baseball Today. Trevor played almost a decade in the major leagues and is a very level-headed guy. He's not like this crotchety old school dude. He's very new age and says what works. Well, you know, I mean, he's not coming in to change the world in San Francisco. He's not. Does he have to have a good working relationship with Buster Posey and Manassian in the front office? He absolutely does, and be willing to exchange ideas. But the most important part of Tony Vitello is going to be rounding out that staff. When he's never set foot in a major league dugout, he's going to have to rely on guys that have been there, that can show him the ropes, and that will allow him to do his most natural leadership. The last couple of guys they've had out in San Francisco have been major league lifers, right? It was Gabe Kapler, and then it was Bob Melvin, and those were unmitigated disasters. They really were, even though Kapler one year won 106.
Having control over your healthcare is a relief, yet so many Americans struggle to find that freedom at a price they can afford. That's why Christians across the country are turning to Redeem HealthShare Ministry. Choose your doctors, your hospitals, your treatments, all while keeping costs low. At Redeem, faith meets real affordability and the freedom to care your way. It's healthcare that lifts your spirit. Join the community today at RedeemHealthShare.org.
ARC Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure video game set in a lethal yet vibrant future Earth. Play as a raider, where you will settle into a fractured underground settlement, hoping to build a new home and legacy for yourself. In order to thrive, you must return to the surface, where lethal ARC machines roam unchecked and the motives of other raiders are dangerously unclear. But if you are fearless enough, who knows what you might find? Pre-order now for PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and PC. Available on October 30, rated T for Teen.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
7 games, whatever it was, in 2021 with the Giants. Those locker rooms were lost. And Bob Melvin, who has gotten a team to the World Series before and got the Padres on the precipice of it, of one a couple of years ago, was horrific in 2 years there. So I say why not, but it's really about the guys he surrounds himself with as to whether or not he can handle this, in my opinion.
It's a really interesting move because with the minor league system and everything else, it's so predicated on guys, you know, with major league experience, professional experience. I think that'll be really fun to watch. I want to go back to the series. The dollar factors involved here are huge. And you mentioned Jimenez. I thought this when I was watching Andres, and I've always liked him. I think he's obviously a phenomenal defensive player. But I thought that's the difference between the Guardians, where they are right now, and where the Jays are. The Guardians thought, we can't pay this guy what it is we're paying him to not hit. And the Jays thought, hey, we can play this guy on D, and he fits right in with what we're doing, and we don't necessarily need his offense. I think about that, and I wonder, how does that change? Does it change anything for our organization? And it almost is just the complete story of the haves and have-nots when it comes to how much do you want to spend on your baseball payroll, Chris? I think he's a perfect example of that.
He is, but let's remember why he earned that 9-figure contract. Jimenez's glove was going to play the length of his career.
Yeah.
He is, for people that aren't like deep into the weeds on baseball stuff, WAR is a number that people use to factor in your offensive rating, your base running, your defense, and put it all into one. So somebody can hit 220 and be a very, very good player. Andrés Giménez, even in bad years, for the most part, will have a WAR right around 4 if he plays a full season. That is a remarkable number for a guy who will not hit for you. But he got the extension after a year where I think his OPS was 837. League average is right around 700. So that is significantly above league average. So the Guardians felt like, hey, this guy's turned the corner offensively.
He figured it out.
We're gonna give him a 9-figure deal. And with his glove, are you kidding me? That's a savings, actually, on a player like that. Well, he regressed and he regressed and he regressed to the point where he was under 600 this year OPS. That's way below. But the Blue Jays can absorb that because when you've got Vladimir Guerrero and you've got Bo Bichette, who is second in the league in hits despite missing 31 games, and you've got George Springer bouncing back the way he did, and then you've got, you know, guys like Lucas coming out of nowhere and Ernie Clement doing his thing and Alejandro Kirk, who's one of the best offensive, just one of the best catchers in baseball, well, then you can have Jimenez show up, have a 600 OPS, and whatever he contributes is masterful. But look at what he's done in the playoffs. You could say he arguably had the biggest swing.
Yeah.
His 2-run homer in game 3 got them back into it and got them rolling. So I'm happy for him.
Yeah, I love his game. Even though he doesn't hit very well, boy, he's fun to watch.
Chris, you going to any of the games next week? I know we only got 30 seconds. I was just curious.
Yeah, I'll be doing some coverage out there. So, I'll be going out there before game 3 and getting some content. So you can find it all over our John Boy Media social media channels. And
okay.
It's always a ton of fun to be out at those, you know. I just think it's great.
Enjoy. Have fun.
Yeah.
And enjoy the Cavs season, guys.
How about that?
We got get us a program, will you please?
I'm starting just tonight.
We can get it ourselves.
We'll see it, Chris.
Isn't that what you always say to somebody? Get me a program.
Bye, boys.
I don't know. Later. Say goodbye. That. Cavs tonight, New York Knicks, season starts. Before we get back into the Cavs, Andy found a little tidbit.
I was sent a tidbit.
I'll tell you what it is. This is interesting.
Yeah. First, let me tell you, you can get the latest from Browns practice throughout the week right now on our YouTube channel. Daryl Ryder recaps each and every practice and game while featuring the best highlights from coaches and players during media availability as well as on-the-field action. So subscribe to 92.3 The Fan's channel now on YouTube and get all the latest from Daryl Ryder on the Browns, throughout the football season, including his brownie bites. I'll tell you that stat in 1 second.
A little bit of news, gentlemen. Shams Charania of ESPN, New York Knicks star Karl-Anthony Towns has been downgraded to doubtful to play in tonight's season opener against the Cavaliers, sources tell ESPN.
Okay.
So Karl-Anthony Towns, doubtful.
He's out.
Game against the Cavaliers.
DeAndre Hunter, shaky.
Downgraded always makes me think that there's a chance they could play when you say
downgraded means to me they're done.
Yeah, it's just weird. But you're like, if you're upgraded, I don't know, whatever. Here's that stat that was sent to us by a friend of the show, BR, and who's also, by the way, super tight with our last guest, Chris Rose. He sent me this stat. I don't know where it's compliments of, but he sent me the stat.
He made it up.
No, I know he didn't make it up. The last two quarterbacks with 100-plus pass attempts and exactly 2 pass touchdowns and 0 interceptions in their first 3 NFL starts. So we're talking about 100 attempts, first 3 NFL starts.
Only 2 touchdowns?
2 touchdowns and 0 interceptions.
Not more than 2, but 2 on the money.
It says, and exactly 2.
Exactly 2.
Pass TDs, yes.
Yeah? How many guys have done that?
Well, Dylan Gabriel, as you would all expect, because we wouldn't have asked that question if he didn't think about it.
Yeah.
And the other one was some guy from some Michigan quarterback. Tom Brady?
Was he a Patriot quarterback?
Oh, yeah, he was a Patriot quarterback.
Huh.
Well, maybe you can put them on your team.
So Dylan Gabriel and Tom Brady in the same breath.
Okay.
Well, don't tell Daryl Ryder or Chris Rose.
That is courtesy of the NFL on CBS.
Okay. You know, as you and I both said, and we're going to talk Cavs here in a second, we just, let's see something. So far, he's been just fine. And Chris said just fine. We've both said, he's been, competent. Well, that's not going to get it done. So, you know, competent is you make a lot of money for a long period of time in the NFL. Really good is the franchise quarterback, and you make ungodly amounts of money in the NFL.
Shams chimes in a little bit farther. Karl Anthony Towns is a quad strain. Increased pessimism today for his status tonight.
That's a shame.
And also, just another sidebar, too. Dan started this incredible trend going on currently at Andy_Baskin about how come quickies, which are now blowing up my
Robert in Brecksville sent it to me initially, and now we're just having a good time.
Now it's on, is it on both of our timelines? Yeah, it's on mine. I know that for sure. Okay, anyway. Yeah, getting back to the things that we actually do on the show.
Is there any chance the Cavs go into this season way overconfident? Let me tell you why I ask that. 64 wins last year.
Mm-hmm.
Knocked out in the playoffs, but 64 wins last year.
Well, that gets you.
Boston doesn't have, hang on. Boston doesn't have Tatum. They don't have Porzingis anymore. They traded him. Indiana was the upstart last year. Well, they're not going to be this year, I can't imagine, because they don't have Tyrese Halliburton, and they decided, okay, we're good. That means you're thinking Cavs and Knicks. Outside of those two teams, you're thinking Orlando. You're thinking Milwaukee. You're thinking Detroit, perhaps, with J.B. Bickerstaff. Could Philadelphia make a move? You know, if their health has been their big issue, could they make a move? Is there any thought in your mind that the Cavs look at this and think, we're pretty good to the top 1 or 2 seed in the East. We're good to go.
Hmm.
I don't think so.
I'm going to be honest. We are the Central Division champions, Jeff. I mean, that meant something. We get a banner for that? Why do you look at me with such disgust?
Because I set you up with a really legit question.
It was sort of a legit question.
And then you
question.
Go snarky.
I Should they be cocky going into this? No. Should they be confident going into this? Yes. But they know that there are pitfalls along the way. They know they're not healthy to start the season, and there are going to be issues. And fans may not be. I think we're all kind of just sitting back waiting for the playoffs, which is ridiculous because we should enjoy every moment that this team gives us. That's what we should do. And if you like Jeff's process, I hate to say what it's like, but it's like a
proctologist visit.
It was just more like, what would you use? I'm not even going there. The process and the waiting part of it. Now you with me on this, that it takes forever to get through the whole system. It takes a really long time. Okay. It takes forever. There's just too many games, right?
See, this is the Baskin brilliance that I teed you up for.
Yeah, I know. Look, do I expect them to win? Yes. Do I think they're going to win the East? I don't know, man. I mean, I'm watching everybody say they're the team, but you've got to pick someone to be the team. So if people want to pick the Cavs because, they're over the apron, well, then so be it, right? Is it over the apron or under the apron? They're over the apron. And so be it. They're the team that it is. But you know you're injured right out of the gate, and they were very healthy during the regular season last year, and they caught teams at the right time last year. So are they confident? Yes. But if they're cocky, they're out of their minds because every team's going to be gunning for them.
You know how earlier...
Let me just bring up one other point. Go ahead. They need to get Mobley more involved, like you said in the beginning of the show. Like, he's got to be the man.
Or the co-man with Donovan.
Yeah, you've got to be able to say one of these two guys for sure is going to help us win every night, right?
I would agree.
That's more along the lines, yeah.
Earlier I mentioned the general manager survey that John Schumann, who's been with us numerous times, put out. I found this interesting in it. And, these are just opinions, okay? These guys are general managers. These are the people who run NBA teams. And I said that they're the Cavs are the number two team. Picked to win the NBA championship behind the Oklahoma City Thunder, an overwhelming favorite. And then it's the Cavs and the Nuggets. So the Cavs are the team out of the East. And then it said also receiving votes, Houston and New York. Last year, the team that they thought would win the NBA Finals was Boston. So you're sticking with the champs, right? But under the win the Eastern Conference, the Cavs are the number one team, followed by New York, Orlando, Atlanta, Detroit, Milwaukee, Philly, and Boston. That's the way the voting shakes out. The interesting thing to me is this. Last year, to win the Eastern Conference, Boston, the overwhelming pick, followed by the Knicks, 76ers, Cavs were fourth. Cavs ended up winning 64 games. Milwaukee was fifth, Orlando sixth, and those lowly Indiana Pacers were seventh.
Oh, boy.
And look what happened there. Look what happened there. Kevin is in Cuyahoga Falls. Kevin, sorry we couldn't take you earlier.
Gentlemen, how are we doing today?
How are you?
Thank you.
Fantastic. Yeah. Hey, a couple points. Actually, I got 3 points to make. Number one is the whole, everybody's injured, so we should skip the doodah through the East. Great. Fantastic. I think it's awesome. Who will care if we're hosting the Eastern Conference trophy over our heads? If there were injuries to their teams, nobody. Did Indiana get an asterisk stamped on their Eastern Conference championship last year when our team was devastated with injuries and they walked into the final? No, they don't have an asterisk on their trophy. So I don't care. I don't care who's missing and who's not. All I care is if the Cavs win Eastern Conference championship, I will be so happy and elated. So injuries happen. They're part of the game. So what? Big deal. Move on. Put on your big boy pants and suck it up there, Buttercup. In regards to Darius Garland being untradeable, we've heard this from various people. That's insane. I don't know who's coming up with this. Have they not paid attention to the NBA in the last 5 years? Hello, KD, Paul George, Luka.
Big contracts traded like crazy, Kev.
Exactly. Yeah. It happens all the time. So to say that Garland's trade is quote-unquote untradeable, that just shows you have not been paying attention to the NBA. So big contracts and big players have been traded all over the place the last 4 or 5 years. So that's a non-issue as far as I'm concerned.
Exactly right, Kevin. That's exactly right.
When was the last time you thanked God for your health care? At Redeem Healthshare Ministry, it's not just about paying medical bills. It's about honoring Christ and relieving the burden of rising medical costs. From routine checkups to life surprises, Redeem offers affordable, flexible programs supported by a caring Christian community. say amen to healthcare that fits your faith and your budget. See how it works at redeemhealthshare.org.
ARC Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure video game set in a lethal yet vibrant future Earth. Play as a raider, where you will settle into a fractured underground settlement, hoping to build a new home and legacy for yourself. In order to thrive, you must return to the surface, where lethal ARC machines roam unchecked and the motives of other raiders are dangerously unclear. But if you are fearless enough, who knows what you might find? Pre-order now for PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and PC. Available on October 30, rated T for teen.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen
and Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.